Good morning. If you would, get your Bibles open and open to Galatians chapter 3. We want to welcome all of you that are on our live stream. Appreciate you tuning in. We know that we've been having trouble lately with our audio since we upgraded some of the technology. We did have some technicians in here this week, and we're hoping this is a better week as far as the product that we're able to put forth. I definitely sound louder and different in here than I did in the past, which isn't a problem. That's hopefully a step in the right direction. So we appreciate those of you who are in our live stream audience for bearing with us as we've made some changes here. And also for those of you that are in-house, you're not as aware possibly of some of the things that are happening in that department if you are in-house, unless you're watching the recordings after the fact. Now, just real quick, am I too loud for you guys in here? I'm echoing is the word here. So maybe that seems a little better, a little less echo. All right, amen, amen. All right, Galatians chapter 3. The last 2 weeks we've been talking about the first five verses here where Paul asks this series of questions to the Galatians. I'd like to begin by reading what we've been doing the last few weeks and then have a word of prayer as we begin the message. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Lord, thanks again for this time that we have this morning. We pray as we come to your word, and we open it up, and we look at what it has to say to us, and we'll be edified and encouraged. And Lord, as we look now at the illustration that Paul's going to give about Abraham, that has been confusing for some folks, that we'll have clarity and understanding from your word. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So I've been setting forth, Paul opens up the practical, the doctrinal section, the section of the book of Galatians where he's now dealing with the issues in the churches of Galatia, and he begins the first five verses and he peppers them with these questions. He asks these questions that the answers to which are really pretty obvious if you just read what the questions are, but Paul is doing this as a teaching tool, as a way of trying to get them to think about what is going on here with them in these respects, okay? And then what he does, what he starts to do in verse 6, is he's now going to give an illustration. He's gone through the questions with them in verses 1 through 5, and he's going to begin now with an illustration here starting in verse 6. And the illustration that he's going to use is of Abraham, okay? Notice verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, before we just read verse 6, go back to verse 5. Let's read verse 5 into verse 6, and you can see what I'm talking about here. Verse 5, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? The obvious answer is, it's by the hearing of faith, right? But then he immediately goes into Abraham, even as Abraham. So the even as, at the beginning of verse 6, connects it back with the end of verse 5. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So Paul is going to give Abraham as an example of somebody who believed God, and his belief was counted for what? For righteousness. Verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now the first thing I want you to notice here in these verses is let's count how many times faith and believe show up in these verses, starting with verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, that's once, okay? And was counted him for righteousness. Look at verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, that's twice, the same are the children of Abraham. For the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through what? Faith, that's three times, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So that they which be of faith, that's four, are blessed with faithful, five, Abraham. So in four verses here, belief and faith come up a lot, and the reason for that is Paul is using a situation with Abraham to illustrate what he's talking about in the five questions that he raised with them in verses 1 through 5. Okay? Now, before we get into a dissection of the verses here, I want to start off with just a basic question. Okay? And the basic question that I want to start off with is, what is faith? Faith is mentioned, a form of faith is mentioned five times here. What is faith? It's just a general question. Now, come with me over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hold your hand there and come over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and this is a famous verse that people, if they're trying to define faith, would go to do it. Hebrews chapter 11, okay? And look at verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Notice what it says. Now faith, what's the next word? Is. Now faith is. Now, this might seem basic to you, but you got to get this. Is this verse going to tell you what faith is not or what faith is? It's going to tell you what faith is. I was dealing one time with an atheist family member of mine, and he said that this verse doesn't tell you what faith is. And I said, really? What's the first four words of the verse? It says, now faith is. What is it? It's the substance of things hoped for. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now the reason he was saying it was negative is because it says the evidence of things not what? Seen. But there's a positive before that. Now faith is. What is faith? It is the substance of things what? Hope for, and it is the evidence of things what? Not seen, right? So we as believers are instructed by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians to walk by faith, not by what? Sight. Sight is what you can see. I see all of you, you see me, you can see each other, that's sight. You understand what sight is. But Paul, but the writer of Hebrews explicitly says in verse 1 there of chapter 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not what? Not seen. Now he's going to give some illustrations. For by it, that's faith, the elders obtained a good report. Anybody in your Bible that's going to obtain a good report with God is going to obtain it on the basis of faith. Faith is and always has been the issue with God. Now, as we seek to understand and define faith, faith is believing what God tells you to do. Faith is believing what God tells you to do. Okay? Now, let me illustrate it for you. Go quickly to verse 7. God is a dispensational God. God in his dealings with mankind has dealt with humanity on the basis of different operating principles. Today we are in the dispensation of grace. Ephesians chapter 3 verses 1 through 5. We're in the dispensation of grace. God is dispensing grace. Grace is the operating principle that he deals with humanity on the basis of today in this dispensation. In prior dispensations, namely the Mosaic dispensation, did he deal with Israel on the basis of the law? Did Israel enter into a law contract with God that was a set of conditional blessings and curses based upon their ability to do what God said? Okay? Now, so we need to always remember that God is a dispensationalist. He told different people different things at different times. So therefore, faith is believing what God says to you. Look at verse 11. Hebrews 11 verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen. So notice how the definition of verse 1 is working its way through here now, okay? By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not, as things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by what? Okay, so what did Noah do? What did Noah do? He built an ark, okay? What did God tell Noah to do? He told Noah to build an ark. So in Noah's case, what does faith do? Faith responds to the instructions that God gave, right? And the instructions that God gave Noah was to build an ark. So if Noah decides, they're going to make fun of me. They're going to mock me. It's too long. There aren't enough trees. I don't have enough pitch and tar. I'm not doing it. Is he operating by faith? No. He operates by faith, by hearing what God said and believing what God said and then doing what God said. And he does it. So think about it. He's building this massive thing. Everyone is mocking him, making fun of him, and he's doing it in faith of something not yet seen. God has said, I'm going to destroy the earth through a flood. I need you to build this boat, Noah. And everyone's like, you're a lunatic, man. What are you talking about as you're going through all of this, right? But he did it in faith, not yet having seen what he was doing it for. Now, if you study this chapter, Hebrews 11, it's known as the great faith chapter. And if you go through here, you'll realize that all these people died in faith, not yet having received what they were promised, right? So that goes back to verse 1. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not what? So faith is doing and believing what God tells you to do. So let me ask you a question. Can you and I today, by faith, build an ark? We can build an ark, but we're not going to be doing it by what? By faith. Has God told any member of the body of Christ today to go build an ark in the church grass? No. So you understand that you need to be biblical, but you also need to be dispensational, right? So that is, the building of an ark is something God gave Noah to do. So faith for Noah is to go out and do what God said. He operates in faith in what God told him to do. Now, we are, come with me over really quickly to Matthew 19. Come over to Matthew 19. I want to give you one more illustration of this. Matthew 19. In Matthew 19, we see the case of the rich young ruler. Starting in verse 16, Matthew 19, verse 16, notice, it says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have what? So what is this guy's question? His question is essentially, what do I need to do to have what? Eternal life. Okay? Now watch. And he said unto him, that would be Jesus, said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Okay? Why does Jesus answer that way? Is he talking to an Israelite living under the law that was obligated to do what the law said? Okay? So here's what I want you to see. If I'm an Israelite living in time past, faith for me is endeavoring to do what God told me to do, which is to keep what? Keep the law. Now, today in this dispensation, as members of the body of Christ, we're not under the law. We're under what? We're under grace, right? So look at the end of verse 17. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Verse 18. And he said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So basically he recites the Ten Commandments to him. Okay? Verse 10. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. So he says, I've kept all those what? Laws. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful because he had great what? Now, if he is going to operate in faith to what Jesus told him to do, what would he do? He would sell all that he had, right? Because is God preparing Israel to enter into the kingdom? When you go to Acts chapter 2, let's go to Acts chapter 2. Come over to Acts chapter 2. We see people doing this exact thing. Selling what they have, bringing it and laying it down at the apostles' feet. Okay? So this is what the apostles were teaching. And fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Now watch. And all that believed were together and had all things what? Common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had what? Now, the rich young ruler comes to Christ in Matthew 19, and he says, what do I need to do to have life? And Jesus says, keep the commandments. Right? And what's his response? I've done all that. What else do I need to do? And Jesus says, you need to sell all that you have and give to the poor. And he's like, nah, I'm out. I'm not doing that. So faith in the kingdom message, if you are a believing Israelite, what does faith in the kingdom message do? Faith in the kingdom message sells its goods and lives in this manner here, this common manner that is talked about here by the apostles. Go over to Acts 5. Go over to Acts chapter 5. It's amazing to me how modern Pentecostal preachers the prosperity gospel, they have a lot to say about tithing and this and that, but none of them are teaching these verses. Okay? None of them are telling their people to sell all that they have and lay everything down at the apostles' feet. Now, the Holy Spirit at this point was empowering the apostles to distribute to these men and to do things in common, right? Look at Acts 5, verse 1. Land sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So are the people doing, functioning, living, and behaving exactly the way Jesus told the rich young ruler they would need to enter into the kingdom? Okay? Chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So here's an occasion where a couple sells a parcel of land, and do they keep part of it for themselves? And do they bring all of it to the apostles? No, they do not. Verse 3. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart that thou hast lied unto men, but unto who? Can't read today. Okay? But Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And a great fear came upon all them that heard these things, and the young men arose, etc. So is Ananias struck dead for lying to the Holy Spirit? Okay? And what is he struck dead over? He is struck dead over selling a parcel of land, keeping a part for himself, and not giving all to who? So let me ask you a question. What did faith in the kingdom gospel at this time in history do? Sir, is he acting in rebellion? He's acting in rebellion. Okay? And there's swift and instantaneous judgment executed upon him for lying to the Holy Ghost in this fashion, in this context. Now let me just say, aren't you glad we're not under the law? All right? So, what is my point here? Come back to Galatians. My point in these two examples is that faith is believing what God tells you to do. Okay? Now, we know, did the kingdom come? Did the prophesied kingdom to the nation of Israel, has it come yet? No. So all of these people that acted in faith according to the kingdom message, that sold all that they had, that laid it at the apostles' feet, and the apostles distributed to every man as they had need, etc., that is why Paul, on his apostolic journeys, does he take up a collection for the poor saints at Jerusalem. The reason they're poor is because they acted in faith to the kingdom gospel. The kingdom gospel didn't come, and so now is Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, trying to facilitate for their physical needs through the Gentile churches. Okay? But faith is believing. So how would the rich young ruler demonstrate his faith in what Christ told him? He would demonstrate his faith in what Christ told him by selling all that he was, all that he had. So we already know from our studies, go back to Galatians chapter 3, we already know then in our studies of the book of Galatians that today in the dispensation of grace, we are not required to keep the commandments of the law to be justified. Faith in God believes the specific revelation that God has given to you. Okay? Was the rich young ruler told to believe something different than Noah? Was Noah told to believe some different stuff than Abraham and all the other people mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, right? So faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. It is believing what God tells you to do. Okay? What is God telling men today to do? He is telling them to trust the finished work of Jesus Christ as the only total complete payment for their sin. He is telling mankind today to, as ye receive Christ Jesus the Lord, as we saw last week, so walk ye in Him by grace through faith. He is telling us today through His Word to live by grace in the same manner and on the same basis upon which we got what? Saved. To not go back to the law. So can I today go back to the law and do it in faith? I cannot. I cannot do it in faith. Why? Because that's not what God has told me living in this dispensation to do. You guys following that? Now, as we come now to the example of Abraham, it's going to be important that you keep all that in mind. Okay? So let's start looking at verse 6. Well, let's read verse 5 again into verse 6. Verse 5, He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So, what's the obvious answer? It's by the hearing of faith. We're not saved by the law. We know that already from chapter 1, right? So it's by the hearing of faith. And then he's going to give you an example. Even as. So the example now is going to come in verse 6, starting in verse 6 with Abraham. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. All right? So, what God is doing today with you and I is like something that he did with who? Abraham. When he accounted Abraham's faith, Abraham believing God, when Abraham believed God, did God account it? Did he reckon it for righteousness? So whatever God is doing today, right now, in this dispensation with the Galatians, is like something he did with who? With Abraham. Okay? So, in verses 1 through 5, we've seen that Paul was asking those probing questions in order to make the point, or drive home the point about how a person is justified. Now in verses 6 through 9, he's going to begin a discussion about Abraham to illustrate the point. The reason he's bringing up Abraham is to illustrate the point about justification, about righteousness that he's been making and raising, not only in chapter 1, but in chapter 2, but in the first 5 verses here of chapter 3. Okay? So, even as Abraham believed God, the word believed, notice the word believed there. Verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, the first clause of that verse, the word believed is a verb. Okay? It's a verb. If you believed something, what did you do? You put your trust in it. Did you find it trustworthy as you evaluated it? And did you give mental assent to it that it's true? Okay, so let's look at the dictionary here. The verb believed means, number one, credited, assented to, as true. Okay? So, how many of you believe in Santa? Okay, don't answer that if you do, but... or tooth fairies or whatever, okay? Now, why don't you believe those things? Because you have no reason to give assent to them. So you do not believe them, right? So the idea of belief, if you believe something, it means that you've given assent to the thing as true. And that definition is coming from Noah Webster's American Dictionary of the English Language. Now, notice what it says. Abraham, so notice the statement in verse 6. Abraham believed who? Now listen, I say things to people all the time. And I have good intentions when I say them. Okay? I tell things that I think are true. When I'm teaching the Word of God, I do not intentionally teach things that I know are false. But you should not believe me. You should believe who? You should believe the Word of God. I am liable to err. I am liable to be wrong. I've been wrong and I've said stuff that I know. I've got myself on recording from stuff that I no longer believe. Because I've changed my what? My mind, right? So the idea is, don't believe me. Don't believe the preacher. Don't believe another human being. Believe who? believe God and believe what you can confirm through the Word of God, through an objective standard outside of yourself. Now notice, Abraham, who did he believe? He believed God. He gave assent unto the fact that what God was telling him was what? Was true. Okay? So Abraham assented unto and accepted as true what God told him, i.e., did he believe God? Okay? And it was in the past tense, so he believed in the past. Okay? He exercised faith in that sense. Now look at the second half of verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God. Now, before I move on, why is God worthy to be believed? Titus chapter 1 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before. So is God capable of lying? The scripture says that God is not a man that he should what? Lie. So as a man, as a human, I can outright lie. I can intentionally tell a falsehood. I could just be mistaken about something and be wrong because I'm subject to error and I'm a human being, where I'm not intentionally trying to mislead anybody, but I still don't have all the right information, and so what I say ends up to not be true, right? But is God worthy to be believed all the time? So does Abraham believe God? That's why I have been stressing so much in chapter 2 the issue of the faith of Christ. It is the issue of the faith of Christ that ultimately saves us, right? Because He is reliable, He is faithful, He is the one who brings about our security, not my faith. I place my faith into Him, and my faith is only as good maybe as the day or the moment or the hour, right? But is He always faithful to what He did and what He said He would do? Okay, so when we look at this verse, and even as Abraham believed God, Abraham is placing his faith in God. Not man, not human viewpoint, not man's opinion, but God. Now watch, even as Abraham believed God, and, so there's addition, and it was accounted to him for what? Now let me ask you a question, what was it that was accounted to him? It was his belief. It was his faith. Okay? So Abraham, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Okay? So God took Abraham's belief. God takes Abraham's belief. Now, this is going to be a bad illustration because I can't think of a good one, but we'll go with it. Okay? Does Abraham place his belief into the bank of God? And does God account to Abraham his righteousness because of his faith? So does God reckon and impute to Abraham righteousness as a result of Abraham's belief in God? Belief in what God said. Okay? So the English word accounted. The English word accounted here means esteemed, deemed, considered, regarded, valued. Okay? Esteemed, deemed, considered, regarded, valued, accounted for, according to Noah Webster. Now, the Greek word is a word of accounting. How many had accounting in high school? I did. Your debits always have to equal your credits, or you're in trouble. Okay? Now, if you look up, if you go to the Blue Letter Bible, a free online program to help you that is designed to help with the study of the Word of God, and you look this up and you go to the biblical usage in tools, you will find the following statement regarding the underlying word. This is what it says. This word, so the word translated accounted, this word deals with reality. That's what it says. Now listen, I like Lord of the Rings and Star Wars, but I know it's not real. Okay? Ernie thinks it's real. But I know it's not real. Okay? I know that it's not real. I'm not accounting it as reality. If I were accounting it as reality, you guys would think I was crazy. Okay? So notice what it said. I'm reading the quote now. This word deals with reality. If I reckon that my bank book has $25 in it, it has $25 in it. On the basis of an accounting or a reckoning. It means to account for reality. Okay? Otherwise, so if I say it, my bank book does not have $25 in it, otherwise I'm deceiving myself. So if I only have $25 in my checking account and I go out and spend like I have 10 grand, good decision or bad decision? Am I operating on the basis of reality? No. So what is better, to actually have $1 million or believe you have $1 million? It's actually better to actually have what? $1 million and just to believe that you have $1 million. So this word accounted here, accounted for righteousness, this word is a word that deals with reality. Let me read it again. If I reckon that my bank book has $25 in it, it has $25 in it. Otherwise, I'm deceiving myself. Okay? This word refers more to fact than to supposition or opinion. So what Paul is saying is that when Abraham placed his, when he believed and placed his faith into God's account, did God accredit, did he account, did he impute that to Abraham as righteousness? Okay? Maybe hope so, or definitely because God's doing it. Okay? Now it's interesting. This word accounted is a word of accounting. Now, I want you to go to Romans 4, and we're going to read a section here, and I'm going to highlight every time this word appears in Romans 4. Okay? We'll start at verse 1. We're going to be coming to Romans 4 anyway, eventually, in our study of Galatians 3, because it's talking about the same thing. Notice chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh have found. So notice in Romans 4, who's Paul talking about? Abraham. Who's he talking about in Galatians 3? Abraham. That's his illustration in Galatians 3 as well. Verse 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, he have whereof to glory, but not before who? So if Abraham were justified by works, could he glory in his own ability to make himself right? And if he could do that, then he wouldn't be doing, notice what the verse says. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before who? Not before God. Now look at verse 3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for what? Notice, is that the same statement that we have in Galatians chapter 3? This time it says counted. In Galatians 3 it said accounted. Okay, so is this an accounting word? So there it is for the first time in Romans 4 and verse 3. Look at verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned. Reckoned is the same word. The reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So if you are working to get your salvation and the books are squared, are you going to find yourself short of the glory of God? Because you are working, and the reward, notice verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace. How are you saved? You're saved by grace through what? Faith. You cannot be saved on the basis of your own work, because the more you work, the more debt you what? Incur. So there's the word reckoned. It's the same word as accounted and the same word as counted in verse 3. Look at verse 5. Now to him that worketh not, but believeth in him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is what? Counted for righteousness. There's the word again, counted. Verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man whom God imputeth. Same word. Whom God imputeth righteousness without what? So imputation, reckoning, accounted, those are all the same thing, and they're all words of accounting. Okay? Verse 7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Verse 8, blessed is the man whom the Lord will not do what? Impute sin. Do you want to know where you want to be? You want to be in the state where God is not imputing your sin to you. That's where you want to be. If you die outside of a state where God is not imputing your sin to you, is your sin on you? Yes. Okay? What verse were we in? Verse 9. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned, there it is again, reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Now, if I were like a bank person, I'd be loving this. Because what this is saying is that accounting and reckoning and imputation are part of the mechanisms by which we're saved. And God is imputing and accounting and reckoning faith for righteousness. Verse 10. How was it then reckoned? There it is again. When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision, not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision, verse 11, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them what? Also. So all through Romans chapter 4 do we have these accounting terms. Reckoned, imputed, counted, etc. Okay? And they're all dealing with how God applies righteousness to a person. Now come back with me. Well, there's one more I want you to see. Go to Romans 6 just quickly on your way back to Galatians 3. Romans 6 verse 11. Likewise, what's the next word? Reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there is a practical reckoning there of your position. Are you in verse 11, are you dead to sin, but alive unto God? Is that the reality of who you are as a member of the body of Christ? The answer is yes. Now what you need to do in the practicality of your life is reckon it. You account what God says about you to be true, and you operate on the basis of what God says. Now if God is able to account your faith unto you for righteousness, then is he certainly able to do a second reckoning here where you are able to by faith reckon what he says about you to be true and live on the basis of that. You following what I'm saying? Okay, go back to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. God accounted Abraham's faith for righteousness. The word righteousness is related to the word justification. Now, we say justification in English because it would be weird English to say righteousification. But that's essentially the idea. Those who have been justified have been righteousified. But we don't say righteousified because it ain't good English. Okay? We say justified instead. Justified, justification, okay? Here he's saying in verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. God took Abraham's belief in the first clause and counted it, accredited it to him for a right standing before God. So does God, on the basis of Abraham's faith and believing what God told him to do, account and impute to him righteousness? You following that? Where is there any work involved in that for Abraham? The answer is what? There's not. And faith, I don't care what anybody tells you, faith is not a work. But to him that worketh not, we just read it in Romans 4. Now to him that worketh not, but believeth. So belief is not a what? Work. Okay? Now, when you look there at verse 6, that is a quote. Hold your hand there and come back to Genesis 15. That's a quote from Genesis chapter 15. Go back to Genesis chapter 15. Now, there's a lot of stuff going on back here with Abraham in Genesis 15. In Genesis 14, Abraham delivered Lot. There's that whole issue. There's a lot of things going on. God has made promises to Abraham. Look at Genesis 15 verse 1. Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. So after everything in verse chapter 14, he goes to visit Melchizedek. There's all this stuff going on. Chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless? Now let's stop there. Had God promised Abraham that he would make of him in chapter 12 a great nation? Abraham's getting older here and he's realizing that he still doesn't have any what? Children. So he says in verse 2, And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, and Abram said, Behold to me, thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in mine house is mine heir. So Abraham says, I still don't have a seed. Is this one the heir? The child of the steward Eliezer. Understand what's going on? Verse 4, And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be what? Thine heir. So does God tell him straight out, No, he's not the heir, you're going to have a child. Okay? Verse 5, And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, So shall thy seed what? Be. And here's our verse 6. And he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for what? So in that moment, what does Abraham, all Abraham has to do is just believe what God what? Said. And when God believed what, and when Abraham believed what God said, did God account his faith and what he said to him for righteousness according to verse 6? Okay? Now you know the story. Chapter 16, Sarah hatches a plan, right? Now you can believe what you want. Here's what I believe is going on. By the time you get to chapter 16, are they both on in years? And there's still no child, right? The plan that Sarah hatches to have Abraham take Hagar and marry Hagar and so forth, I will always believe that that is a plan for Sarah to demonstrate that she wasn't the one with the physical problem, but he was. So in other words, the reason they're not having any kids isn't her fault, it's whose? It's his. So Abraham believes that he goes along with this and he marries Hagar, and lo and behold, what happens? Hagar ends up pregnant. Is this the heir? See, now here has Abraham acted in his flesh. In chapter 14, now at first he just believed God and God accounted it to him for righteousness, right? But now does he act out of his flesh? And God says to him later on, This child of your flesh is not the child of what? Of promise. It's not the one I'm going to accept. In fact, Paul later on in Galatians is going to use Hagar and Sarah as illustrations of the spiritual truth that he's talking about. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. Okay? Now go back to, on your way back to Galatians, go stop again at Romans 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. Notice that that's in a question. Does Abraham find that his flesh will produce what God will accept? Or does Abraham find that his flesh cannot produce anything that God will accept? Now look at verse 2. For if Abraham, here it is, were justified. Remember what I said a minute ago between righteified and justified? Right? If Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham. So here's a quote again from Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was what? Counted to him for what? You see the connection there between justification and righteousness? The connection in verse 2, for if Abraham were justified, verse 3, end of verse 3, it was counted to him for what? So, if you're justified, are you declared righteous? Okay? Verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for what? See, God always has accounted faith for what? Righteousness. So faith in what God, so faith for Abraham in Genesis 15 is to believe what God said. God said, look into the heavens, see the stars. This Eliezer of Damascus, the steward of your house, his son is not your heir. You'll have as many offspring, as your seed will be as the stars of what? Heaven. And in that moment, did Abraham believe God and was accounted for righteousness? So now what Paul's doing, go back to Galatians chapter 3, what Paul's doing is he's going back now to that, and he's saying to the Galatians, hey, what God is doing with you guys is like what he did back there. How do I know? Look at chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as, verse 6, even as Abraham believed God. See, their justification was even as the way God dealt with Abraham back there in Genesis 15 when he simply accounted his faith for what? Righteousness. So faith for Abraham in Genesis 15 was to do what God said. But God did not tell Abraham to do anything except believe what he said. That's it. Okay? And isn't that the same way we're justified today? By just simply believing what God says? See, that's why this message is so hard for religious people. Because religious people always have this mindset that they got to try to help God. That they still, you know, yeah, I'm not very good, but you know, sometimes I do good things. And those good things that I do, God can't just ignore those things. And he has to sort of factor me in here somehow. And what God is saying is, listen, all that stuff that you do that you think is good, I don't want any of it. All I want is the work of my son. And that is the only thing on the basis of the work of my son is the only thing I'll accept you on. But you want to know what? When he accepts you on the basis of the work of a son, does he accept you wholly, totally, completely, for all that you are in him? Okay? Now verse 7. Got enough time to get verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of who? Of Abraham. Okay? Now, as we look at verse 7, the first clause, the first half of the verse, the verb know is in the indicative mood. Is there something here that he is commanding them that they need to know? Okay? Paul is commanding the Galatians that they need to know the truthfulness of what he is saying. Now, in verse 6, believed was a verb. In verse 7, faith is a noun. Verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of what? Faith. Notice, of faith. We said earlier, when we talked about Galatians 2:16, the faith of who? Of Christ. We said it was a noun, right? So here it is, those who are of faith. Those who have believed in verse 5 are of faith in verse 6. Okay? Now, here's what happens in our day. I hear people all the time talking about how I am a person of faith. You ever hear people talk like that? I'm a person of faith. And I say, okay, what do you have faith in? Well, you know, I just, I just hear from God when I'm on my pond in my boat. And the wind is blowing and the birds are chirping and the fish are jumping. It's when I just feel God. I'm of faith. Listen, when people talk like that in our day, you better make sure you understand what they're saying. Now, I am of faith, but I am of faith in the sense that I'm in Christ. And I'm believing God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save me from my sin. And I'm believing that. I'm putting faith in that, right? I'm trusting and relying on what He did for me. Therefore, am I of faith according to Paul? Yeah. But the way people misuse this terminology today is they want to apply it to any old thing out there in religion that they want to believe. Well, it's just my faith, Brian. My faith tells me that you're wrong. My faith tells me that you're being too harsh right now when you say that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Well, the Word of God says you're wrong. Okay? And it's not about me or you. It's about this book. It's about what saith the Scripture. And how many times is Paul's appeal here to the Scripture? You need to understand, folks, there's a lot of people right now talking about Jesus. Jesus this and Jesus that, and I feel this and I feel that, and all this sort of thing, and everything's all touchy-feely and all hoodly-do. Okay? You need to understand, did Paul warn in his epistles about those who would teach and preach another Jesus, which he did not preach to them? Okay? The issue is, are you teaching Jesus Christ according to the Word of God? According to the revelation of the mystery? According to what the Word of God says? The adversary, will he let you talk about Jesus? Will he let you talk about church? Will he let you be religious and all of this stuff? Just don't understand that your salvation is not tied to your work, to your performance, to your effort, to your ability. Don't talk about that when you say, see, the God of the Bible is presenting a situation where there is only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by who? Me. What modern day society and culture, religion has done is they've made it okay for you to be of any faith you want. I'm of faith. My faith says you're wrong. Okay? Listen, I'm wrong about a lot of stuff. But when what I say that agrees with the Scriptures, I think I'm right. Not because of my authority, but because of the Word of God. And the reality is that everybody thinks they're right. Don't they? I've told you guys a story before. Somebody comes to me one time and they say, Ross, the problem with you is that you just think you're right. I sound like a really bad guy when you say it that way. Okay? So I said, well, do you think I'm wrong? Oh yeah, you're wrong. So if you think I'm wrong, does that make you right? Yeah, I'm right. So I said, the problem with you is you just think you're right. Are they doing the same thing they're accusing me of doing? Listen, maybe I'm just crazy in 21st century modern America, but generally speaking, if I know something is wrong, I'll believe something else. I mean, if it's wrong, I'm not going to knowingly believe things I know are wrong. If I know they're wrong, I'll believe something else. And what I'm saying to you is this book is right. Notice what he says in verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith. Who are the ones that are of faith? The ones that are of faith in verse 7 is the same one who believed in God, believe what God said in verse 6. Okay? There's a connection here between faith and belief. The person that believed God in verse 6 is of faith in verse 7. You see that? You just get on Facebook and you see people arguing about how faith and belief aren't the same thing. Ernie's rolling his eyes. Okay? Faith and belief are related to each other. Belief is a verb. Faith is a noun. Belief is your action of believing. Faith is what are you trusting in? Okay? Here's what the dictionary says about faith. If you look up the word faith in Noah Webster's American Dictionary of the English Language, here's the first definition. The first definition of faith. Are you ready? Belief. Definition number one of faith, belief. The assent of the mind to the truth is of what is declared by another. Belief, the assent of the mind to the truth is what is declared by the other. Resting on his authority or veracity without other evidence. This is why you don't want to believe me, you want to believe God. You see? Let me read it again. Belief is the assent of the mind to the truth of what is declared by another, resting on his authority and veracity without other evidence. The judgment that what another states or testifies is the truth. That's faith. What's faith? Faith is belief. So if I say that, this illustration doesn't work anymore because the Cubs have actually won the World Series, in case you weren't paying attention. But there was a time where it had been 100 years since they won the World Series. I could believe they were going to win the World Series. But does me believing it make it true? I can believe anything I want. Can I believe Ernie's a green Martian if I want? We can make t-shirts and make little statues and shrines and we can all, Ernie the Great Green Martian, right? We can believe anything we want, but just because we believe it doesn't make it true. It doesn't make it true unless it corresponds to the facts, unless it corresponds to reality. And that's the problem with what's going on in our culture today is the adversary has created such a smokescreen that we are no longer able to perceive, apart from the Word of God, anything that is true. Who is telling the truth? I don't know. I'm serious. I listen to stuff on both sides of the aisle, and I don't know who's telling me the truth. So what I'm left to do is sort of figure it out, what I think might be going on, and then I don't say anything about it, because if I say anything about it, you sound like a fruitcake. So I just keep my mouth shut, get in the Bible, keep my head down, and press on with what matters, set my affection on things where? Above, because all the rest of it, I don't know who's telling the truth. I know this, what I'm hearing in the media, both can't be true because they're opposite. And opposites can't be what? The same. Non-contradiction, excluded middle. So I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine on half this stuff. But I know this is true. Second definition of faith, the assent of the mind to the truth of a proposition advanced by another, belief, or probable evidence of any kind. So is faith related to belief? Yes. Thirdly, in theology, definition of faith is the assent of the mind or understanding to the truth of what God has revealed. Simple belief of the scriptures, of the being and perfections of God, and of the existence and character of the doctrines of Christ found in the testimony of Scripture declared by the sacred writers. Faith. Belief in the testimony of Scripture. Faith. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. You talk about the Word of God. Robin Kemperman gave me this Bible this morning. And she gave it to me because of the epistle dedicatory in the front, but there's a handwritten in pencil inscription on the front of this of some man with a Japanese name dated 1945. What was happening in Japan in 1945? Seriously, what was happening in Japan in 1945? The end of the war. Into the darkness of that war, a man was handed a King James Bible. He's handed the Word of God. This book has made it all around the whole world, been printed more times than any other book in human history, and impacted more lives. This is truth. And I think about that Japanese man who had this handed to him, and how in the chaos of what was going on around him, the only thing that would ground him and give him stability was what he was reading here. I don't know if he read it. I don't know what he did or didn't do with it. There's some stuff that is underlined or highlighted here. But the truth of the Word of God could shine light into the darkness and bring order out of that chaos for that Japanese man in 1945. And it'll do the same for you and I when we believe it. The problem with us today in 21st century America is we have the Word of God everywhere. It's on my phone, I've got 10 copies of it on my bookshelf, and no one pays attention to it. Notice what he says in verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same, are the children of what? So Paul makes a clear statement in this verse that those who are of faith are the children of Abraham. Now, does this mean that the body of Christ is spiritual Israel? Does this mean that the church has replaced Israel? Is this verse signing off on the dotted line for replacement theology? The answer is what? No. What this verse is saying is that in everything that God has ever done in his dealings with humanity, faith was the issue. Okay? And God, before Abraham was circumcised, back in Genesis 15, did he account Abraham's belief to him for righteousness? And does he do the same thing for you and I when we believe he died on the cross for our sins and was buried and rose again? So everybody, anybody, in any dispensation who is of faith, he says, the same are the children of who? Abraham. Look at verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing, you got to wrap your mind around verse 8. We don't have time to study it today, but I want to read it and give you some things to think about for next week. Notice, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. That's us. The scripture foreseeing. Let me ask you a question. Is foreknowledge one of God's attributes? Is the ability to know the end from the beginning an attribute of God Almighty? But what does that verse say? That verse is saying the scripture what? Does God attribute his own attributes to this book right here, folks? And if you need to understand that every single time you open the Word of God, you are having an encounter with the God of the universe on the pages of this book in your language. And the same God's ability to foresee the future, that attribute of God is attributed to the Word of God. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Verse 9, so that they which are, there it is again, of faith, are blessed with faithful who? So did God do something? Did God do something in dealing with Abraham? In his foreknowledge, knowing how he would deal with us more than 4,000 years later, so that when we just believe God, he can accredit our belief to us for righteousness, so that we can be blessed with faithful who? It's amazing. It's amazing. Are we children of Abraham? Yes, we are children of Abraham by faith in Christ Jesus. We are not the physical nation that came through Abraham. But we are of Abraham by faith. You following that? So Paul's point is that we are Abraham's spiritual children because we too have exercised faith in what God's word says to us. We cannot be the physical children of Abraham because that distinction is reserved for his physical descendants, the nation of Israel. We are the body of Christ. We are members in particular in the body of Christ, but we are the children of Abraham by faith. Knowing that God would do this today, what he's doing today in the dispensation of grace, Did he do something back there with Abraham in Genesis 15, knowing how he was going to deal with us today? God knows the end from the beginning, folks. He attributes his own attributes to the word. We need to be in the book and let the book renew our mind and let it work itself into who we are. We've talked a lot in this church in the recent past about the issue of the renewing of the mind. Because when you wake up, you know what? You want to know what's going to happen? You're going to leave here. Okay? Those of you with kids, your kids are going to do something stupid. Your spouse is going to tick you off. The dinner is not going to be ready. The line is going to be too long at the restaurant, wherever you're going to eat after church. And your flesh is going to start working. You're going to start getting mad and fussy and fumey. And before you know it, what I've said here that you rejoiced in the moment that you were sitting here, is, it said, and so am I, is going to be a distant memory come Wednesday. You know how it is. I know how it is, right? That's why today, tomorrow, the day after, next week, next month, next year, you need to renew your what? Your mind. And you need to put in the forefront of your mind who God says you are and reckon that to be the case. Because of all that he's done for you in Christ. Lord, thanks for this day and for this time. We're grateful for all that you've done for us through the work of your Son. Lord, we are grateful. It seems as though our sound issues have been fixed. We're grateful for the brethren, particularly Dave Amaral and Mark Gruders and Daryl Dornboss, who have been dealing with that stressful situation. We're grateful for them and their willingness to do that work. Lord, we're grateful for all of the musicians, the teachers, the people who come early, stay late. We're grateful for all that you've done for us through your Son. Help us to appreciate it. Help us to not let our minds wander from where they should be. Help us to renew our mind. Help us to know that if God be for us, who can be against us? We ask this in Christ's name.